Good afternoon, Tigers.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming today. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you. It's a pleasure. Before I begin my remarks, I'd like to do the number one rule of a politician, and that's recognize my wonderful wife, Kathleen, in the audience. Thank you for being here today. I also want to honor my colleagues. We have with us Vice Chair Janet Long, you know, Commissioner Ken Welch, and Commissioner Pat Gerard. If you've heard me talk, you've heard me talk about how I have one of the best jobs in the world, and it's due in no small part to the ability of working with these fine people. And I also include with that the ability and the opportunity to work with Commissioner Dave Eggers, Commissioner Karen Seal, and of course Commissioner John Maroney, who we're looking forward to having back at the office very, very soon as he is in full remission and at home recuperating. Four years ago, I thought things at the county courthouse was a mess. Today, I admit to you, I didn't realize how right we were. I ran in large part due to the commission vote to remove fluoride from our water, a vote as I saw as backwards, a vote that the Times editors at the time called and created the commission as an ideological swamp that tarnished the county's reputation. But let's take a step back first. As you've heard, I've been honored by your vote before. I've been in the Tiger's Den before. In fact, I'm now in my 14th year of elected service, a fact that my opponent criticizes, but ignores the obvious fact that you, the voters, get to decide my fate. So while I've been in office before, I want to take a second to share a little bit about my history in Pinellas County. I was born here in Pinellas County. I grew up in West St. Pete, the fifth of five children of Martin and Judy Justice. My dad was a clinical psychologist, and my mom ran a daycare center in West Pinellas. I attended local schools including Bogasega, St. Pete College, and the University of South Florida. I was raised in a family that believed in giving back. Being involved in the church and the community was just something that we did. Our family was active in our church and in the Sotoma Club. We raised funds for All Children's Hospital and lots of local charities. In college, I interned with Lars Hafner's campaign for the Florida House, and I later went to work for him in the legislature. In my last years at USF, I worked at First Union, in the building they're tearing down today. I worked at First Union and went to school at USF at night to finish my degree. Later, I went to work at USF St. Petersburg for Dr. Bill Heller. I was privileged to have the opportunity to learn from both Dr. Hafner and Dr. Heller. I continued to work in different capacities at the university, including at the end, creating, developing, and running a leadership program for our students, successes that we're incredibly proud of. I spent over 13 years at USF St. Petersburg. 10 of those years, I worked two jobs. As you heard, I served 6 years in the Florida House and 4 years in the Florida Senate. I'm incredibly proud of my time in Tallahassee. One of the things I'm most proud of is I sponsored legislation which redirects lottery money, unclaimed lottery money. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's millions of dollars of unclaimed lottery money. It used to go back to administration. Now it goes into the classrooms. Over $36 million of money to this day. But today we want to talk about the County Commission. That's why we're here. Let's remember where we were 4 years ago. The commission was openly mocked. The commissioners didn't seem to get along very well with each other or others. There was poor relations with the cities. Mayors and commissioners would take shots at each other in the press. Other counties, we didn't have the cooperation with others such as Hillsborough. Fire districts and fire chiefs. We would have meetings where the administrator would be openly fighting with fire chief in our meeting. Nonprofits and hospitals. The county was headed in a direction to try and bring in multiple services in-house with no real way to pay for it. We had secured the county had secured a $15 million grant for a health clinic with no way to pay for operations. In-house, former commissioners used to berate employees and seem to take sport in grilling the low-level employees of Pinellas. Our unincorporated areas. Many residents didn't feel that they were getting the response that they needed from their local government. And we weren't partnering as well as we should have with our local businesses. 4 years ago, the voters made change, and we've made progress. It started with the critical decision to replace our administrator with the even-tempered Mark Woodard. Now we work well across the spectrum of issues with our cities. In fact, the state government just recognized our coordination with the cities as an example for others to follow. We've shelved old deals, and we treat our 24 mayors not as subjects, but as partners. We work incredibly well with our partners across the region and across the Bay. The work of the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, which Pinellas is a leader in, has resulted in the best quality of water in Tampa Bay in over 5 decades. Seagrass has returned faster than expected, and though I don't get a chance to see it, I'm told that the snook is better than ever. One of the many reasons that I've been endorsed by the Sierra Club. And we see the work that Commissioner Seal and Commissioner Long do every day to try and coordinate our transportation issues better on a regional basis. When we arrived 4 years ago, the thorniest issue that was a lack of contract between the county and the 18 fire districts. Again, we put old feelings aside and we built consensus, and now have a long-term contract to ensure that our 911 system responds when you call. Treating partners like partners and not like servants goes a long way to resolving conflict. This is just one of the many reasons that I've been endorsed by the Florida Professional Firefighters and the Pinellas Police Benevolent Association. We went back to our roots as a county government. We know it's smarter to be a facilitator of services and sometimes a funder of services. We clearly understand, though, that we cannot be a provider of all services. Our fiscally conservative approach is important as we balance the budgets and we maintain the lowest debt ratio of any urban county in Florida while maintaining staff levels similar to 1988. One of the many reasons our fiscal conservative and our policies with our budget, one of the many reasons that I've been endorsed by the Pinellas Realtors Organization. We've professionalized how we treat our employees. We have a clearly defined strategic plan that cuts across every department and involves every employee. We now have a better funded and staffed Veteran Services Office. What that means is more services reach our 90,000 veterans that call Pinellas County home. We improve the Animal Services Department. Partnerships with nonprofits such as the SPCA, PetPal, and the Humane Society means better functioning services and a higher rate of adoptions. We've paid better attention to our planning and our historic preservation departments. Under my chairmanship, we secured designation as a certified local government. What that means in real terms is that we have better local control, and we're now eligible for thousands and thousands in federal and state grants. Our unincorporated community is now engaged better than ever, and this time in a positive way. Under my chairmanship, we're holding regional commission workshops in Tarpon Springs, Pinellas Park, Gulfport, East Lake, and Tierra Verde. We've worked to secure a $1 million grant to improve the roads and meetings through Tierra Verde on the way to Fort DeSoto. We're funding library improvements in Palm Harbor and East Lake. And we're making drastic improvements in recreation opportunities in both those areas in unincorporated Seminole. And in Lelman, we have moved the needle like never before in the community, in the impoverished community of Lelman. We added parkland to the Joe's Creek Parkway. We're funding recreation opportunities and improvements, sidewalk, drainage, intersection improvements. We've created the first ever community redevelopment area in unincorporated Pinellas County. We jumped at the chance to secure 55 parcels and make the promised investment from previous commissions of $5 million in land there to secure affordable and workforce housing and to make sure those properties didn't end up in the hands of slumlords. We've beefed up our economic development forces. We have a great partnership with the Small Business Development Administration, and we're providing needed resources to our thousands of small businesses. Our leadership in the Tampa Bay Export Alliance is paying real dividends as we set the table for some of our small manufacturers to enter the international market and earn millions of dollars in contracts through our OP programs. We've also, in a smaller way, we've instituted what I call a Thank You for Doing Good Business in Pinellas, where every commission meeting we bring some of our lesser known businesses and we recognize their successes and we share those success stories with our community. I know that's a lot of different things to throw at you, but those are the kind of issues that we deal with on an hour-to-hour, day-to-day basis. So it's important to think about who you vote for and why you vote. Why is someone running for office? Do you trust them to make decisions that are right for all of us and not just allow us to raise some fruit? You know why I'm here. You know my reasons. I don't look at the commission as a partisan playground. My past is here. My present is here with my wife and my beautiful daughters. I hope their future is here. That only happens if we leave a better Pinellas than what was left for us. My reasons haven't changed, folks. We recognized 4 years ago that there was important work to do, to make things right, to end the dysfunction, to put aside partisan differences, and to put people first. I'm asking you today, let's not turn back the clock. There's still important work to do. I'm Charlie Justice, and I'm asking for your vote. Thank you very much.
Good morning, or this afternoon, I should say. And thank you very much for inviting me today and giving me an opportunity to speak. Because it's very interesting to hear how Charlie plays out a very nice message about where we are. I'd first like to say thank you to my wife as well for coming here today. We moved here a little over 16 years ago with our youngest son, then followed by our two older children, and then followed by my mother-in-law, our father-in-law, and stepfather as well. So we understand the beauty of Pinellas County and what it is and where it can be. As soon as we got here, I was planning my retirement. Of over 30 years of business experience, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But I was planning my retirement, and the first thing that both Lane and I both did, because we felt it was extremely important to us, is we started to look at how can we give back. So Elaine decided to participate with the Women's Service League, the Queen of Hearts, St. Anthony's Foundation, the Auxiliary. I decided to move on and support Ponce Pasadena Hospital, then BayCare, or actually St. Anthony's Hospital, St. Anthony's Foundation, where I became the board of St. Anthony's Hospital, part of BayCare Health System, on their finance committee, I'm also the chair of their audit committee. I joined the Science Center of Pinellas County when it was dying, to say the least, and asking and looking for help. We brought that organization back to life and brought it together with CareerSource Pinellas, which I am now an executive board member of. And we've created a new opportunity, a new value for this community in STEM, as well as in jobs, and I'll talk a few minutes about that shortly. And then I also have spent time with USF, and it was called USF Connect, where I help new startup companies create opportunities and grow within our community. I think, again, what's important to really look at and understand is that I have over 30 years of business experience, global business experience, working with companies all over the world, and governments, by the way, focusing on how to provide opportunities and values and clear focus on what's extremely important, and that was our customers. How did you do that? You did that through thought leadership, innovation, and doing right for others. And that's what I plan about coming back to do here in Pinellas County. I'm focused on creating opportunities, and if we look at the platform on which I'm running under, it starts with sustainable job growth and economic development. I don't talk about it. I've been doing it. We've created filled over 200 jobs since the last 10 months in the manufacturing industry that we've been talking about. When I spoke with the manufacturers in this area, they'd love to expand and build and grow, but they couldn't find employees to do that with. What we created was a 5 to 7 week program that allowed them to identify the people, put people into a training that was very focused on what their real needs were, and ensure that they would go to work, because the program was a 40-hour-a-week, 5-day-a-week program for 5 to 7 weeks. And then we got them certifications on very specific areas and that the manufacturers really needed. The first 75 went through that program, and 50 of them had jobs making $10 to $12 an hour. We expanded that program and continued to grow, and I'm proud to say that in this year's session, the state gave us an additional $2 million to expand that program because it's a success. That creates opportunities for economic development, because if you really want to look at how economic development grows, you have to have a workforce that is ready and moving. And it has to be an entry-level workforce that's ready to move. And what we're focusing in on is creating the value of technology, using technology to drive change, which can and help bring new business to this community. The second thing you really have to look at is what I call communications and collaboration with the communities. I've gone from Terre Verde to Tarpon Springs, speaking to people, not only from the government side, but the people on the street. And the message I heard was, nobody's listening to me. Nobody hears what I have to say. And the amount of government, bureaucracy, and red tape that I still have to go through, it's sometimes too huge to do. We have to fix that. I've got 9 patents in business collaboration and 1 in e-learning, and I applied those throughout my business career to allow me to retire relatively early. And I'm applying those now here in this space as well. Because what we can do is we can get our governments, both municipalities as well as our county government, to come together and find common ground to work on the real issues that we really need to address today and to focus on the real needs of the people. Remember one thing, and it's important to understand, you're not taxpayers alone. You are customers of this community. And that's really what's going to make a difference.
When you focus on you as a customer, that means we have to provide you with the highest value of service at its lowest cost. To do that, we have to make sure that our operations and our organizations are working effectively, and that we can clearly provide that in a meaningful short period of time. We had some issues that we had to deal with. Let's be honest. $16.5 million of a judgment. That judgment against you and me and everyone who pays taxes here in this community. That was a lack of good business, sound business judgment. A lack of understanding that of existing law. A lack of focus on precedent. And also not listening to your own attorney when he gives you advice. That's what's happening. I don't believe that that will be overturned. We need to then also focus in on what I call quality of life. Well, quality of life, in my mind, is mission-critical operations, mission-critical job functions, public safety, health, and infrastructure. I know my opponent doesn't like me to talk about this, but 50% of all the wastewater dumped this year was from Pinellas County. We've closed 5 beaches due to bacterial and fecal contamination. It's been written up in the New York Times. That impacts our tourist business, that impacts our growth. We have to do something about that. And we can do much better. We have to apply common sense, good business judgment to the direction which we have in going forward. I believe it's important that we have to think to the future and create plans and strategies for this government, for our people, that we can begin to implement today. I've got a prime example of that, and anyone who's had an opportunity or attended the Juvenile Welfare Board meeting today would see a part of what we've done. In the past 3 years, we focused on creating value for the children, over 53,000 children of this community. But the way we did that was not only to give and help fund the programs, but to monitor, measure, and measure their success. By doing that, we put the onus back on the organizations to ensure that we are getting the highest quality, the highest value, at its best cost and its price. And we continue to need to do that. I am concerned about my grandkids. I'm concerned about my kids, their kids, and where we're going from here. And I'm very focused on thinking about a strategy and looking at the future, but beginning to implement that future today, and that's where we're going to make a difference. We've spent a lot of time, and as you heard from my opponent, many issues were focused on dysfunctional government. I wasn't part of that dysfunctional government. I'm not that person or people that he's spoken about. As I said, I've had 9 patents in collaboration. I know how to get people to work together and how I can work with people to ensure clear value. But I have a vision for the future. And I have a focus for where we can be. And I'm a problem solver. And what I expect to do is when I do win this election, I'll be coming back to each and every one of you and putting you to work. Asking you to talk to me about what we really need to do and how we can focus on that for the future. We need to be proactive, not reactive in our government. And that's the difference, I believe, between myself and my opponent. So again, I ask you to take a look at my website. It's www.mikemacurick.com. My phone number's on my palm card. Call me. Send me emails. We can talk about the specifics about any of the issues that you may see and anything that might be most important on your mind, and you'll find I care and that I want to do what's right for this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. afternoon. Anne McMullen, the Doyle Wealth Management. Commissioner, you talked about a collaborative effort that has defined the commission. As I look toward what Mike McCurry talked about, the sewer water problems that we're having, they are not defined by just St. Petersburg or just St. Pete Beach, but it is certainly a countywide problem. I'll ask each of you, how can you collaborate and not turn this into a political football and make sure that our basic infrastructure is secured for the future? Mike, you talked about the newspaper articles. Tourism is our number one industry, so how will each of you manage this for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Ann, for the question. And my opponent said I don't like talking about it. That's just not true. We talk about it all the time. What I don't like is when he misleads about it and blames Pinellas County for the individual issues of some of our municipalities. We talk about it all the time, and in Pinellas County, we've been doing something about it over time. We've doubled our budget for our pipe reline and our sewer program. What we've done since the crisis has yet you've seen is that I have called for a countywide sewer task force. And believe it or not, it is the most popular task force to get a membership on. People have been calling me every day trying to get on this board. But we hold our first meeting on Monday. And the first thing we want to do, the first deliverable we want to do, is simply to have better communication. I will tell you, last year, when the city of St. Pete had issues with Clam Bayou, if they had called any of the other providers, there's 17 different sewer service providers in Pinellas County, if they had called, we could have helped. We could have alleviated some of that. We had pump trucks sitting by, ready to aid. They didn't know to call each other. The first goal of this task force will be to aid those communications. The second will be to put the technical experts in the same room and to see, is there a feasible way that we can better connect our resources? Can we share capacity? Because we all know there's times in Palm Harbor when it's flooding and dry in St. Pete and vice versa. We've got to have better collaboration on that. And then this is something that has developed over decades, not just over the last 4 years.
I would agree with Charlie. It has been developing over decades. This is an issue that is not brand new. And calling and talking to rest and waiting for somebody to call you is not the right approach. I mean, that's where we go back to what's reactive versus proactive. We needed to be proactive. We've actually had sewer taxes or fees and stormwater taxes that have been put aside. We've even had what's called pennies for Pinellas. That's been gathering funds and using those funds. Whether or not it was specifically outlined for that or not, we can discuss and question. But it is coming up again, and it should be considered to be outlined for those things. Our sewers are infrastructure. Our sewer systems are infrastructure. We should have been maintaining those. And we should have not, it shouldn't be a new option, a new possible problem today. We've known about this. And anywhere, in any business, and any other cities as well, you need to focus in on maintaining your systems on a regular basis. And maybe some of this would not have happened. That's part of where the problem is. We actually had, what was it, over a year and a half ago when the water mains, I believe, or some of the spouts on Gulf Boulevard from the reclaimed water started to burst. And what was really the issue is that it weren't maintained. I mean, we should know back at least back that far and understand that we have an issue. And you're right, it is not just St. Petersburg. And as a leader of the county, we should be identifying that and working closely with them from the beginning, not as a task force that starts on Monday.
Housing First is a nationally recognized program to end homelessness, both single individuals and families, particularly families, since 25% of our homeless are children. For Housing First to work, however, there has to be affordable housing. What will either of you or both of you do to ensure that there's affordable housing in Pinellas County for our homeless and for our homeless children?
Sure. I think that's an extremely important issue that we need to deal with. And that really requires us to really take a good hard look at what's available. I will give you an example of what I'm trying to do right now. And the study that I'm having done won't be done until after the election is over, so it wasn't done for that reason. I did go into loan. And I've asked USF St. Pete to provide me with two MBA students. And we're looking at two specific areas. One are all the housing that's available.
whether it's in foreclosure, whether it's in code violation, whether it might be in others. And we're collecting that data and putting towards what would it cost to take over these homes and have them rehab. At the same time, what we will be saying to those that we're asking to participate is they must be able to purchase at its lowest value so that we can provide real value in real homes to people so they can build their careers and they can build their places within the community. The second part of that study is to continue what I've already started, looking at jobs in that area as well. A program that started about 2 months ago has already provided 4 jobs, not a lot, but 4 jobs, in local manufacturers in Wellman. That's included in the 200 that we talked about. That program will dovetail together and will identify places and opportunities for young people and others to come in. Now that helps clean up the community. That doesn't answer the total question that you asked. But to be able to get started, we have to start doing things like that, programs like that, to ensure that we can create opportunity and value. Rentals are the wrong approach.
Well, I do think that obviously some studies apparently are good. What we do is we work currently with the Homeless Leadership Board in Pinellas County, and we fund through those programs. But we did step into Lowman. We kept the promise that previous commissions made about how to spend those Penny for Pinellas dollars. And we spent $5 million to secure 55 units of spots as well as other properties in the Lowman community, Lowman Heights, north of 54th Avenue there. The number one thing there was we kept the property out of the hands of the slum lords, which was what was happening in Lowman. People were coming in, rents, turning into rental property, just not maintaining. Another area that we believe in the Housing First Initiative. Commissioner Long and Commissioner Steele have provided incredible leadership on this issue. We believe in that because we've worked with professionals. And in Pinellas County, we are incredibly fortunate to have our sheriff on this issue. His leadership at Safe Harbor, the partnership with Pinellas County to create a clinic there, which provides health care for many of the people living there and staying there, that has helped alleviate some of the burdens. We're now working with, and we've got some leadership from Tallahassee on this as well. We've identified some of what we call the frequent flyers, 30 to 40 individuals in Pinellas County, many of them homeless, that are a fiscal drain on all of our budgets, sometimes over $2.5 million. By holistically approaching these individuals and wraparound services, including Housing First, we can, one, provide a better quality of life for those folks, return them to civilized society, as well as helping our budgets for future areas. But it's something that we continually work on. Obviously, it's an issue that's important for all of us, and thank you for your leadership on that issue as well, sir.
Matt Lettler. Matt
Lettler, New Tiger. In an era when incumbents win re-election significantly more often than they lose, do you support term limits on legislative bodies, not only at the federal level, but at the county commission level as well?
I'm not a supporter of term limits. I benefited in that term limits opened the door for me to run for my first time in Tallahassee, and I watched the decline of Tallahassee. I don't believe term limits would serve Tallahassee well at all. And your point about incumbents winning, I will tell you in Pinellas County, we have 4 commissioners currently on the board that are in their first term or less. So the voters have a way to decide, and I think that's where it should stay.
Matt, before I answer your question, I just have one other comment that I wanted to skip out from the previous one. The study that we're doing in Lowman right now shows that there are a number of people that own, actually foreigners that own property in Lowman that are being rented out too. So if that's not slumlording, I'm not so sure what could be. The second part of that, coming back to you, is I think there's a difference, and I think we have to focus on term limits as to where they might be best played. Unfortunately, the last time term limits came up, they were focused on everyone, and I don't believe that constitutional officers should be included in that. Those are more like real jobs that are going on. But to keep, and I love the laughter, that's really good, to keep the focus, though, on thought leadership and growth, there's a point in time where I believe there's a diminishing return. So yes, I would agree that there's a need, specifically in the county, to put a term limits on the county commission and allow new life and new blood to work their way in. Unfortunately, what we have is, in many cases, you know, it is, and I'm first to tell you, it's an uphill battle. When you're an unknown trying to come in and trying to find a way, when there are politics or people who have been in politics for a long time that have done it. The key is that you get the right message out. We'll see what happens this year. But I do believe that there should be turnover.
Susan?
Susan McGrath, can you tell me, gentlemen, if you support the sale of Pinellas Waterfield mine lands in Pasco, and why or why not?
We have looked at this issue very closely, and through our work with Tampa Bay Water, through the land that was purchased a long, long time ago, we have made the determination at the current time that we want to maintain ownership of that property. We think it's in our best interest fiscally and also potentially for water resources down the line.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not so sure that's the right decision. I think what we need to look at is where the real value will come to Pinellas County and to the voters and the people of Pinellas County. And if it's really going to add a value, which I'm not so sure it does, I think we would then make that decision. But to outright just decide from that we should keep these properties in another county, I'm not sure where the value is for the people of Pinellas. Whose turn is it?
I don't.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Answer?
Yeah.
Barbara.
Oh. This is to both of you.
Yeah, your name.
Oh, sorry, Barbara Hayes. Don't say me. In 2010, the people of Hillsborough voted down the 1% tax, local option tax, for transportation. And then it came over here, and of course, in 2014, by 62% to 38%, the people of Pinellas County voted no on Green Line, which was the same 1% local option surtax for transportation, similar to the penny per pound along that same category of tax. Just this summer, Hillsborough again tried to put it back on the ballot for November, and again it was voted down by the county. So, do you support putting that 1% on after people have said no so many times?
I'll go for it. and to go back, since we're going back to the previous questions, at a forum last week, Mr. McCurk said he was willing to sell it, the land in Pasco County, just straight out. And I think that as long as you hold it, you can always sell it. But once you sell it, you can't hold it back. So as far as Green Light, we saw that the voters soundly rejected that plan. I would not support putting that same plan back on the ballot again. If we're going to go to the voters, it would have to be with a different idea, a different vision, and after being in the community and building consensus.
In your room, I did say that. And I also said we need to look at what the opportunities could be in the future. But no, I don't think it should go back up. And not until we need a comprehensive plan to focus on what transportation may or may not be. I don't think we have one. I don't think anyone's ever really come together and defined what our renewal needs are. I use this in my campaign speeches all along. When I talk to people in Dunedin, they tell me all they want is give me a golf cart and that's all I need. And maybe I'll need a ride to go to the airport sometime. We speak to people in St. Petersburg. They believe they need mass transit for where they are and what's growing. We've got to look at all options and define what those options are and where is our future strategy on where are we going to be when we grow up, and create a strategic plan that then, after that, can be presented to the community for their decision. Remember, again, you're my customer. You're not my I'm not looking at you to just to pay for anything that comes up. I'm looking at you to define what your needs are and how we can work very closely together to meet those needs.
Charlie. I only see one hand, so Shannon.
Hi, Shannon Love. Mr. McCurk, I was wondering if you could clarify and perhaps expand on your previous statement that you felt like constitutional officers were, quote, real jobs, and could you maybe expand on what you feel the role of a county commissioner is?
Sure. You know, Charlie said he's had a great job. I say I don't look at a county commissioner as a job. I look at it as a service back to the community. Now, jobs to me are ones that provide an ongoing service, specific ongoing service and function. The county commission is much broader. I'm not disagreeing with the role. I think it's much broader and it has broader oversight.
And I think that that's where there's a need for new blood, for new focus and new visions for the future. Because that's really a major part of where the county commission is. It not only needs to maintain and follow the law, but it really needs to provide a future vision and a future focus that we can start implementing today and really beginning to measure for the value and success of our community. It needs to be out listening to people and talking to people and understanding overall needs. I can't quantify that job description. I can for a property appraiser. I can for a county clerk, but I don't see that as being for a county commission. Does that help?
Thank you for your question. I can tell you that for almost 4 years, I've been working very hard at this very real job, and the seven commissioners, both Democrat and Republican, that you have, treat this as a professional job. We put our time, our energy, our thought, our study into it. It's not just a part-time, charity gig that you might think about that my opponent described. In his mailers, he goes further than that. He doesn't just call me a career politician. He blames and discredits any of my service in public life, my time working for the legislature as a staffer, in my nearly 13 years working at the university. I think those people have real jobs too, and I do think they deserve to be respected.
Yes, sir.
Elaine New, what do you see as the role of the county commission in supporting your state court system in Pinellas County?
Great.
We have very specifically defined by statute role in supporting our court system, both financially and structurally. We have great partnerships with Mr. McKay, Mr. Dillinger, and our sheriff, and we fulfill those roles very well through that collaboration, through our budgeting process, through our rulemaking. And you see a lot of our, in the last penny, a certain section of that penny for Pinellas, which has to be negotiated between the county and all the cities, a certain portion of that last penny was dedicated to the complex at 49th Street for our courts and our court system, as well as for the new $85 million public safety complex on Ulmerton Road. So we work very well with our court partners.
Just one more quick response back, and I'll come to your question. I never said that I look at this the service, being a service and provider of service to the community with part-time or some lax job. What I say is that service to the community is the utmost important thing to be and to do. And my wife will tell you that I spend more time and more effort than I did on my job, to be quite honest with you, because most of the time on my job I was flying somewhere. I spend most of my time very much focused on providing clear and high quality value and service to those communities. Mr. Dillinger, going back to your question, Mr. Dillinger and I sit on the Juvenile Welfare Board together. I very much support the court system. I very much support the role that he plays. I very much support the role that the sheriff plays, as well as everyone else in the court system. And it's important that we keep on top of it and ensure that it continues to operate effectively and that it operates in a manner that allows them to really do their jobs. And that's defined by what they follow within the law. My turn. Anybody else? I'm sorry, your name?
He's going to
okay.
I'm going to
wait for the microphone. My name is Gregory Wilson. Mr. McCurk, you have characterized Mr. Justice's service as being a career politician without really any respect for the previous employment that he's pointed out. In 1994, Jack Latvala first ran for the Senate and served with distinction until 2002. And when Charlie Justice was a senator and stepped down to run for Congress, Jack Latvala sought and won that seat and continues to serve today. He's considered one of the most senior members of the Senate and, by all accounts, a great asset to the Tampa Bay area.
Question.
Do you consider Jack Latvala a career politician?
Great question. You know what? Jack Latvala does have a business as well. And I think if you're going to listen to what I said or hear what I'm trying to say, I'll preface and make sure that I give you the right explanation of what that meant. As a businessman, I learned to sign the front of a check, not the back of the check.
Okay.
I had to learn very quickly on how businesses have to run and operate. The only way you do that is that you have to be in the front end and leading. You have to understand employment issues. You have to understand needs for growth and management. You also have to make sure the funds are there and are developed in your sales and marketing organization. So when I talk about jobs, and I talk about the difference between someone who's been in a career political role and someone who's had to operate and manage businesses, that's where I'm making the distinction.
Was that a yes?
Was it a yes for what? I mean, I thought I answered the question properly, but what I'm saying is Jack LaValle does have his own business as well, so he's both. He's a businessman. He's owned a consulting company. He's owned a printing company. He's done many other things as well. So yeah, he has been a businessman as well. That's what you're here to say. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
You thought he was a career politician.
I said he's a businessman and he's a career politician. He's both.
If you look at the mailers and you look at the ads and the flyers that my opponent puts out, career politician is not said in a loving, respectful way. So let's be clear about that. I had another career as well. I worked for the University of South Florida St. Pete for over a decade. I valued that career. I valued that service. We considered that a real job as well, along with the 600 people that work on that campus. And I just, did you hear the disdain in the voice? If you don't sign the front of a check, if you don't sign the front of the check, the value is not the same as if you only sign the back of the check. I just don't agree with that. I value the people who create the jobs and have the businesses and stake their claim that way. I absolutely respect that with all my heart. But I also respect the people who put in a day's work and sign the back of the check, like the hundreds of employees I work with at USF, and the teachers, and the other people who do their service to our community every single day.
Jim Moulton, if Amendment 2 passes, which is the medical marijuana amendment, would either of you support laws that restrict where medical marijuana could be dispensed in Pinellas County?
Thank you for your question. I do support Amendment 2, and I thought Senator Brandis wrote a great editorial about that. We actually just, funny that you bring that up, our commission started discussing this last week about whether or not we would start to look at zoning and rules about where those dispensaries would be allowed. So we're gonna have that conversation, and I think that it's something we should look through. We don't want an explosion of the wrong kind of shops, but we will follow the law, and we will do our job to look at it accordingly and make sure that our community is safe.
I'm concerned that we don't recreate, I think it's the sheriff, so we're not recreating the pill mills again. That concerns me. I'm afraid that we will need to. If the law passes, we'll have to follow it. But what's critical and what we really need to make sure that we do is that we ensure that it's followed to the letter of what it is, and that's to support the medical issues of those who need it, and not create what we just spent a great deal of time, and the sheriff has spent a great deal of time on, trying to dissolve and break up what were once pill mills that this county was well known for.
Hi, Denise Ruggiero-Largo. Can you tell me a little bit about the $16.5 million judgment against the county? Should things have been handled differently, and do you feel that Pinellas County residents deserve an apology?
The lawsuit.
This is another one of my opponent's favorite issues that I don't think clearly understands. The lawsuit was not a land use lawsuit, by the way. That's how it's portrayed, but it's not. It was about a way we were treating those businesses. I will tell you, if you read the order from the administrative judge, and this is what a lot of people say, you didn't follow the administrative judge's ruling. It wasn't a ruling. It was a declaration that the property met certain criteria for a land use change. But if you read the article from the paper from when that happened, the administrative judge agreed in his 19-page ruling, although he conceded that the final interpretation is for the elected officials alone. So we have the legislative authority to make land use decisions in issues like that. So, do I apologize for standing up and protecting the neighborhoods to maintain what we decided was the right use of land in the community? I don't apologize for that. And when this case goes to a 3-judge panel in Lakeland that clearly understands land use law, it will be overturned.
My opponent's right. it was not a land use issue. What the issue was a county commission that overstepped its bounds on deciding what was already ruled on by a local city. The county commission is responsible for our unincorporated areas. The city of Safety Harbor was responsible for the city of Safety Harbor. The ruling is, he's right, the actual final ruling, the first ruling that came from the administrative judge, basically came back and told him that. And when his own attorney was asked the question, the attorney told him that he should listen to what the judge had told him, but the decision was made not to and move it forward. The second part of that is it then went to a circuit court. And by the way, a circuit court judge was not only by himself, but he had the administrative judge and a third judge that was overseeing and recommending to him what was happening. Yes, it was a constitutional issue against that company. That's what the ruling was. The ruling was one on a constitutional issue. That company's constitutional rights were violated. That turned into a $16.5 million plus court fees, plus attorney fees, at a 4.78% interest rate per day. And with the new appeal, could be as much as $25 million. And I don't believe that it'll be overturned.
So, this is a call for the last question. And let's stay away from this issue, please, respectfully. This is in litigation, and we're not going to litigate it here. Thank you. So, in the back.
Thank you both for participating today. My name is Kelly Kirshner. Two questions. Could you define a slum landlord, and be it a foreign national or a local resident, and what is the participation that space for a private individual in providing affordable housing? Second question, what is your position on the county's role in keeping Major League Baseball in Pinellas County?
One question.
All right, I'll take number two then.
Okay.
Did you call the Tropicana Field a slum? Is that what you said? thank you for your question. The county commission is playing the role that we have. We will be one of the largest funding partners if a stadium is built in Pinellas County with the use of the bed tax. I support using the bed tax for that. If a stadium plan is developed, that works. Building a brand new stadium right next to Tropicana Field or somewhere else in Pinellas without a plan to make the team a success, without making a success in the community, is not something that we want to do. So the county will play a role in that funding issue.
I believe that it has to be a benefit to the community. I agree that we might use bed tax to help support and build one, but not unless and only if it becomes a value to this community, to the people that live here. We have to see a financial impact. We have to see something that's going to grow and extend jobs and build opportunity for the growth of this community. If it's not going to be that, then I wouldn't agree with it. My concern is, if you look at the sports teams across the country, most of which have huge and large businesses that support it. You look at New York, Atlanta, even LA now as it's moving on. There are businesses that are going to buy up the space and have the seats, take over most of the seats. Then it becomes an open opportunity for people to buy into. I don't know that we have that here. And I think that the Rays have to help find that out. And if they're willing to show us that, and they show it's a real value for this community, then we can talk. If it's not, then we find out we'll find out where they go from here.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Now, you will each have 2 minutes to conclude your remarks. And Mr. McCurick, I believe the agreement was for you to go first, if you don't mind. You can come up here if you want. Or you can sit there, whichever you prefer.
I wanted to say procedures. All right.
I think you've heard today of the differences between my opponent and I. I think you've seen a bit about and know about why we approach things very differently.
Me too.
I am a businessman who spent a great deal of time giving back. I've been a businessman who's focused on providing real value and support to this community and to the people of this community. I care. I don't look at anyone for where they came from or what religion they might be or any other differences that they may have between me and them. We are all people, and we are all customers of our government, and our government needs to support us. We need to be able to, again, look and focus in on where we're going and how we're going to get there, but most importantly, we need to be able to measure the success of that. So we need to be able to provide you as taxpayers, as a community, a better opportunity to be able to enjoy the paradise we call Pinellas County. I have the skills and the capabilities to do that. I am a leader, and I am very proactive, working closely with others to achieve those goals. So if that's what you're looking for in the future, and if that's what you're really looking for to take us forward in this community, then please go to the polls or vote in your absentee ballots before November 8th and vote for me, Mike McCurick, for County Commission District 3.
Commissioner Justice?
Thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate your interest in our local government, what's going on in Pinellas County. I'll restate it. 4 years ago, our county commission was a mess. What you've seen over the last 4 years is the progress of a team. We have a wonderful team right now, Democrats and Republicans working together on your county commission. And by being collaborative, by frankly just being civil to each other, we have built the partnerships with our 24 cities, with our nonprofit leaders, and leaders around the Bay. That helps us succeed and address every issue that we've talked about today, whether it's looking at our infrastructure, addressing our transportation needs, dealing with homelessness issues, and yes, even deciding where to build a stadium. These issues all are addressed better when we work together. And again, I think it's important to look at why people run for office. Is it simply to shift the partisan tables, or is it to serve your community? As has been pointed out, I have a lifetime of public service that you can examine of why I do what I do in my very real job as your county commissioner. With your support, I'd like to continue that job for 4 more years. You can learn more about my biography and the issues that we work on at charliejustice.com. And I'd like to let you know that there's still more important work to do, and I'd be grateful for your vote. Thank you very much.
Everyone, and thank you for coming today. If the candidates would join me up here while we present the winner of the Fang and Claw Award, I couldn't be more happy to present it to Gregory Wilson for his question about Terry Montbella. Don't forget our next program about the election year round one. Hopefully, it'll be with Steve Sale and Pat Wood and that. Very interesting. Okay, Gregory, come on.